Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'm going to continue today to talk about dimensions of the end times. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I've been talking in particular about two great signs that St. Paul said need to appear before the Lord returns. That is the great apostasy, the turning away from God of the baptized, rejecting Christ and his claims, and the rise of the Antichrist. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the programs, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. Best thing to do to hear our programs and spread the word to others is to download the Renewal Ministries app. You can access these programs at the most convenient times for yourself and others. And then also, I want to encourage you, Ralph Martin did a YouTube video on these two signs as well a number of months ago, just this past year, that you can access on our website at renewalministries.net that's had, I think, almost 300,000 people or so having watched that or close to it. So what I want to do today is to continue to talk about this. A key element of what Paul underlines is that the devil's strategy will be to bring about, to enslave people through deception and to blurring the truth. I believe we're at this moment. Is it the actual moment of the Antichrist going to rise in this moment? I don't know that. What I do know is this is a time of a great apostasy. A mass apostasy is actually happening. And there's an enormous amount of deception around. And there's a blurring and confusion about the claims of Jesus, the Lord of all, the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who's the judge of the living and the dead, the one who's revealed the truth, not a truth, but the truth, capital T, truth about human history, its meaning, man, salvation, all of that. It's there. Jesus is the one that's being blurred today. Even in the church, it's being blurred significantly. And many, many people in the church are getting on board with the cultural revolution in its many aspects and dimensions. And that's very unhelpful. It's blurring and it's in it is a deception. So people need to be able to be discerning, very discerning, because these are not easy times to discern. But the Lord wants to help us through the gift of the Holy Spirit, through the teaching of the church, through the teaching of Scripture, through the catechism, through the magisterium, through the witness of the saints. All these things are given to us to help us, and Jesus expects us. Here's one of the sobering things and why it's worth us thinking about this, friends. We will be held to account. We will be held accountable by the Lord. What did you do with the light that I gave you? Did you fight for it? Did you seek it like I said you should? Did you put me first like I told you every disciple ought to? Did you seek the grace? Were you a serious person of prayer? Did you repent of your sins? Did you receive the sacraments? Did you set aside the Lord's Day? Did you tithe? Did you care for the poor? Did you do the things I told you to do? Did you follow me? Did you chew on my Sermon on the Mount? Did you internalize the Beatitudes? Did you seek to be poor in spirit? Did you mourn over the condition of the world, over the sin of the world, over your own sin, the sin of the church? Were you meek? Is your strength under control? Did you seek holiness and righteousness with all your heart? Were you merciful? Did you seek purity of heart? Did you seek peace? The peace that comes from God, not false peace, deceptive peace? Because guess what? The Antichrist, friends, is going to bring about peace at a time of intense conflict on the earth. It's one of the reasons people are going to be seduced by him. Say, oh, finally, somebody's got everybody, you know, most everybody working on the same page. And there will be a time where it's going to feel like peace. But the only peace that's real and that's lasting is the peace that passes all understanding, which is the peace of the right ordering of the human race and the human heart with God. That's where it starts. And then the right ordering of our hearts toward one another under the rule and reign of Jesus, inspired by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. And are we ready, as the last Beatitude says, are we ready to receive with joy being marginalized, being persecuted, being falsely accused, St. Luke says, when that happens to you, jump for joy. Is that my response, or is that stuff begins to even come my way? Do I change my allegiance? Do I downplay who I am and who Christ is in my life? There's a big, big test going on. This is why we have to be discerning and have our heads on straight. We have to be clear-headed. We have to be alive. And if we're living, Jesus says, if we're obeying God's word and we're following the Lord and we're abiding in him, we don't have anything to worry about. But if we're compromised, lukewarm, sort of one foot in the kingdom, one foot in the world, we are food for wild beasts, no question about it. And we will be deceived. And the stakes could not be higher. Remember, your purpose on earth is to know, love, and serve God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, not to, you know, build the biggest business, have the biggest home, be in the best neighborhood, you know, have the biggest hobbies, all the rest. I mean, those things in themselves are not bad. But if they're out of whack, and those are the things that you really have first in your life, then they're idols. And if you're living with your idols, you're going to inherit the destiny of idols. And every idol is going to be brought down. Just this morning, I was reading my own prayer time. Isaiah chapter 44 was in morning prayer. And just some of the things God says. And it says, I am the Lord, there is no other. That's Isaiah 45, 18. Verse 19, I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what's right. The question is, are we listening? He's declaring the truth. He's declaring what's right. And our judgment day is going to be a day that reveals the true condition of each heart. Did I hear that truth and receive it? Did I play with it? Did I downplay it? Did I seek to do what is right according to God? Verse 21, there's no other God beside me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Do you believe that? Or are you drifting with the culture and saying, oh, you know, everybody's got their own God, you know, and their own expression of who God is, and one's just as valid as another. And friends, what's being underlined there, or what underlies that, is a deeper cultural assumption that all truth is relative, and to insist that there's anything other than that is crazy. So to get along in the culture and to have the mind of the culture, one logical conclusion is just to say, yeah, everybody's got their own pathway to God. And every God, every claim of every religion is equal of value. And it's not. There is only one God. Verse 22, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. That's reality. That's what Jesus came to say. He didn't come to say, look, I'm your cheerleader. I just want to validate you on your great adventure of whatever you self-create. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to be your great cheerleader and to genuflect to what you say is true and just to affirm you all day long. That's not what it is. Jesus came to reveal the holy God. Jesus came to reveal the truth about God. And to echo what Isaiah is saying, verse 23, to me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. This is where human history is ultimately going, friends. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that yes, indeed, his Son, who he said he put on the throne, yes, he is Lord. And some are going to do it with absolute freedom and joy, falling to our knees and saying yes, 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 because it's just a continuation of what we've been already doing. And there's others who've resisted God who are going to pound their chest and say, oh no, what have I done? And they too will confess, even those that hate God in that moment. And yes, human hearts can get that dark, that demonic. And everyone, even Satan, every being, creature, is going to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And everyone will bow down. The victory belongs to Jesus. He's the healer of the world. He's the truth about reality. It belongs to him. Back to the catechism. 676 paragraph, where the church continues to teach us about this Antichrist reality. He said the Antichrist's deception already begins to take shape in the world every time the claim is made to realize within history that messianic hope, which can only be realized beyond history through the eschatological judgment. Those are big words, a lot of 25-cent words there. What he's saying is the Antichrist is going to come and say, I can bring peace here on earth. I'm the peacemaker. I'm the one who's going to unite the world. I'm the one that's come. I have the power to lead us all to fix the world. I'm the one. And he's going to say, at a certain point, lots of people are going to believe him. And then at sort of the apex, when he's really got it going, he's literally going to enter the temple. He's going to go in. He's going to declare that he's God. This is an antichrist. This is an anti-Jesus. Christ Jesus is the one who the Father has set on the throne. He's going to, this usurper is going to say, no, I am the one. Follow me. And then anybody who opposes the antichrist at that time is going to be a horrible period of time for the church, but a time of great victory. There's going to be profound martyrdoms, great, great persecution for a time, and his mask is going to come off. People are going to be deceived like, wow, he's so dazzling. Look at the signs he's performed. Oh, we finally have the leader we've all wanted. Oh, he's amazing. And then he's going to require more allegiance to him. He's going to require that the name of Christ basically be stamped underfoot eventually, and he's going to assert himself as God, and anybody who opposes him is going to be in for trouble. So it's going to be easy for people to get seduced by him if they're not taking Christ seriously and they're not pursuing and seeking him with all their heart. It goes on to say, it's trying to say that salvation can happen in this world. It's almost like Karl Marx and the communist worldview, the battle between the proletariat and the bourgeois, and that's what history is all about. It's an economic struggle, a power struggle, and history is nothing more than matter in motion. There is no spiritual world. There is no God. There's no eternity. It all happens here, and the triumph of it all is going to be when the proletariat, the poor, overthrow the bourgeois, and we create utopia on the earth. There's a constant push. That's the same spirit that's present now. We're going to create utopia. And we're going to fix all these, and there's crises everywhere, and everybody's easily panicked. And we're waiting for a savior. We're waiting for someone to save us from all these things that are causing so much fear and division. Where is this person? And this person's going to rise and going to say, I can create heaven on earth. We're going to do it. And so that's what the catechism is saying here. It's a deception. It's a lie. And that the only heaven on earth, the church has a touch of it, is lives in it now, is when the king comes again and definitively destroys all opposition. And he, the Prince of Peace, alone is the one who's going to establish peace on earth, ultimately. And we're not, even self-professing Christians will say, well, no, you know, we're called to fix the earth. And what we're doing is preparing it for when Jesus comes. We're going to prepare and give to him a world that's been healed and is peaceful because we are the ones who did it. We're his people, the ones who, that's not true. That's not what Revelation says. We're meant to work toward a lot of that stuff. But what really meant to work for our fundamental mission is to witness to Christ in words and deeds and to bring people to salvation before they meet him in a particular judgment or before he returns. It's very, very important. He goes on to say, the church has rejected even modified forms of this falsification of the kingdom to come under the name of millenarianism, especially the intrinsically perverse political form of a secular messianism. That's one way to describe communism and Marxism. It's secular messianism. We're going to bring about salvation, and the Antichrist is going to be the quintessential move in that direction. Friends, hope you can join me tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.